This is Let's Talk Business with your host, Mark Ebinger. Now, here's Mark.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business, a show that highlights and promotes entrepreneurs to learn more about their vision, goals, and marketing strategy. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about the challenges and rewards of building a SprayNet franchise. In studio with us today is Greg Petulia, an expert at exterior painting, cabinet refinishing, and the owner of SprayNet San Antonio North. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while, but you're back.
It's been a minute.
I'm your host, Mark Ebinger, the owner of Kruka's Virtual Staffing, a company that specializes in hiring virtual assistants from outside the United States.
And I'm your co-host, Genevieve Sims, with the Evolve Firm, where we help entrepreneurs evolve to elevate.
And I'm Kirby Caden, also your co-host. I am a certified business coach and a sales engineer. So entrepreneurs get their time back and have better outcomes.
A quick reminder to follow the Let's Talk Business podcast on all major podcast platforms and social media where you can catch video versions of the show. You can get to everything easily from our website at satalkradio.com. Now, if you're going to be in the San Antonio area on Thursday, May 16th, be sure to join us at the next Let's Talk Business Mega Business Mixer. We are expecting 150 to 200 local business owners and entrepreneurs on site to mix, mingle, and connect with each other to do more business. You can get to all the information at our website at satalkradio.com. Now we're going to give a quick shout out to Ian Bertini and the BPI Insurance Advisors for being one of the gold sponsors for our upcoming Let's Talk Business Mega Mixer. Ian has been a guest on the podcast and is in the business of helping families protect and preserve their financial future and helping businesses reduce risk. BPI Insurance Advisors provides a wide range of insurance products to assist you with all your needs. So if you're looking to save money on property, vehicle, business, or life insurance, visit BPI Insurance Advisors at bpiagency.com. That's bpi-agency.com. Or call Ian and his team at 210-317-6162. That's 210-317-6162. All right, Greg, so you're doing pretty well out there with SprayNet. Yeah. 5-star rating on Google, awesome. I didn't know you're a lifelong resident of San Antonio, though, originally from here. Graduated from Judson High School and Texas A&M. Are you wearing the ring? You are wearing the ring, aren't you?
I am wearing the ring.
That's official. And then you purchased your SprayNet franchise in 2022.
Yes.
So I know Kirby was asking a little bit about your decision to do that. What was your question you were asking, Kirby?
Yeah, the origin story, how you came from a very, very successful corporate career to deciding to become an entrepreneur.
Well, it was just something that I'd always had in the back of my mind. I always played with it. Guys at work, we would talk about, you know, what if we owned our own business? We wouldn't have to come in here every day from 8 to 5, 8 to 6, whatever we were doing. And then I just found myself at a place in life where it was, if I was going to do it and I had an opportunity to do it, you know, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it now. Because if you wait any longer, I'm not getting any younger.
Right.
And if you wait any longer, it's not going to make as much sense.
Yeah. Great.
So it was just, and I had to have the support of my wife. You know, I thought about doing it a few years ago and she was like, no, you need a paycheck, da, da, da. Now it was like, well, you've been talking about it a while.
We're good.
If you're going to do it.
You have to go live your dream, right?
Yeah.
And the first sniff that somebody needs to be an entrepreneur is when you start to think that your corporate, those that are above you in the corporate environment, are not exactly doing it right, that you could do it just a little bit better, that they're a little misguided in terms of the way they do things. That's the first scent that you really need to lean into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it's funny you say that because even wherever I landed, there was always that, why are we doing it this way?
Right.
Why are we making these decisions? This doesn't make sense.
Right. My boss is a moron. I know how that goes.
But you just start to wonder, if I own my own business.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. You know, as soon as you jump into this pool, you realize everything, you have no clue what you're doing.
Right.
But you have the ability to learn it. And one of the things I always prided myself on, because I went from several different industries. I went from manufacturing and textile and soft goods to medical device to, you know, bigger medical devices, beds, ventilators, things like that.
Right.
And then into the aerospace industry and its consulting. You know, but I was always able to quickly adapt and learn the needs for that particular industry. So when you go into something like this, you know, I had the confidence that I could adapt and learn what I needed to learn to get the business moving in the right direction. That wasn't an issue.
So with all this talent and all this experience, how did you decide on SprayNet as a franchise? And then even deeper, why would you pursue the franchise route rather than starting something from ground zero?
SprayNet was just something that I worked with a very talented, and I consider her a dear friend, Terry Villanueva. She was a franchise coach, had reached out to me and said, are you interested? And I thought, well, let me see what this is about. I was always interested in the franchise route because I am a process person. I am a process, improvement person. And I was looking for something where there was some established processes that, not that I could improve on, but that I could adapt to and understand and not have to figure out, learning something from the ground up, in essence. So the franchise route was always the route I was going to go with this. Plus, I didn't have this next great idea. I didn't want to start. I didn't know what industry I really wanted to get into until I started looking at franchises and see what was available out there. Mm-hmm. So that was the emphasis for kind of going the franchise route.
Interesting. Great.
So SprayNet was just where I landed. When we were going through what kind of businesses would I be interested in owning and things like that. One, it was no food. I don't want anything to do with food industry. nothing in the medical care, senior care, that type of thing.
Even though you had been there, interesting.
Because I knew
what that entailed.
Yeah. OSHA and the FHA are like.
Yeah.
No interest.
Right.
Whatsoever. Lived that life for a long time. Right. But I did want something service-oriented because that was my background. I service centers and servicing hospitals and things like that. So I understood that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So I looked at several different service-oriented franchises in different areas. Landed on SprayNet for two reasons. One, I really like their processes. I like the products that they had developed. And two, I really like the people. And for me, that's important. It's a people connection.
Really,
can I trust them? Do they come across as genuine and supportive? And I haven't been let down. Those assessments were spot on for me.
Right. So as you're getting to learn the franchisor, mm-hmm. your perception of what they would bring to you as an entrepreneur versus what's actually happening, are those congruent?
Yes. In this case, I made a good decision. I'm very pleased with that.
That's great.
Because the support they provide this particular franchise or SprayNet. We have a call center, so I'm not running around doing a bunch of cold calls all the time. Leads go into a call center, they establish appointments, then I go out, and that's done. Now, that's not all of my business, but that's a great help because they have a master center where things fall into. So it takes a little bit of pressure off as far as scheduling appointments and things like that, which is big. I wasn't a salesperson, so something I had to learn as I went. Very good on the advertising side as far as marketing they provide from a digital aspect and content and things like that that we can constantly use. They're constantly developing that, working with that. They claim their mistakes. They say, we know this isn't working, even when it comes down to
that's great.
Agencies and things like that. They put their hand up and said, yeah, we all know this was a bust, mm-hmm. so we're changing gears, but very transparent about that. And then the third piece was the development of the products, and we'll get into that a little bit deeper, why that's important. They're always looking to enhance and develop and give us other opportunities or better opportunities to better serve our clients.
Yeah, we're in an interesting place in the real estate world. I realize you're both B2B and B2C. Mm-hmm. Primarily for B2C, though, we're in a very interesting place in the real estate where interest rates are so high. We're all at 2%, and mm-hmm. so nobody's moving. So in order to get top dollar, which you're able to do now, you really need to improve your what your kitchen looks like or the exterior wall or whatever. Tell us where SprayNet could help in that regard.
Well, SprayNet's very different than your standard painting company, which was another reason I was really interested in getting into this. So there's three things that really, I think, differentiate us from a standard everyday painting company. One, we do not use off-the-shelf paint. We create all of our own products. We have our own development. We have our own engineers. We mix everything. We do everything in-house. So what does that mean for the client? Well, that means you're going to get a high-quality coating and paint that's developed specifically for the surface that we're applying it to. So when it comes to kitchen cabinet refinishing, we have a specific product designed for cabinets. Mm-hmm. When you go to the exterior of your home, every surface has their own product developed specifically for that surface, whether it be stucco, hardy board, vinyl or aluminum siding, which you don't have a lot of that in San Antonio, exterior doors and windows, including garage doors. And then I always save brick for last because the brick is always the one that excites me because we don't paint brick. We actually have a patented brick stain, which penetrates the surface of the brick, changes the color, doesn't sit on the surface where it's eventually going to peel off. Everybody's seen a painted brick home after 5 or 6 years, starts chipping off the surface, and it gets repainted. Ours penetrates the surface of the brick, changes the color, changes none of the natural attributes of the brick, allows it to breathe, expel moisture, and just changes the color. One, that's a differentiator. Two, for us, because we know the science that's in our paint, what I always say, we know the science in our bucket, is we offer a 15-year warranty on all of our applications. And with the application, we only use spray guns. We don't even carry brushes and rollers on a trailer because we want that clean factory finish every time, whether it be cabinets or the exterior of a home. And three, we don't subcontract. I hire W-2 employees. They are my employees. They've been trained by me. They've been trained by SprayNet. They do this every day. We show up in uniform. We show up in wrap trailers and trucks. You know who you're dealing with. When I walk in and tell a client, you know, Trish will be here on site every time because Trish is my team lead. You know, that resonates a lot with people. It's not you don't know who's coming next. It's not check off the next contractor, subcontractor on your list to do this job. It's I can tell you who's going to be in your home. I can tell you everything you want to know about them.
People want to know who's walking.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't want strangers coming in our house.
Well, when you look at my Google reviews, one of the things I always tell people is read my Google reviews. I said, Trish has mentioned more than me. They like, you know, my clients like Trish, but they don't like me. I mean, and when you think about it, getting that team to understand that they spend the majority of their time with a client. Client sees me when I'm selling the job, telling them what we can do, convincing them that SprayNet's the right fit for them. And then they sometimes, most of the time, but sometimes they don't. They see me at the end of the job. Mm-hmm. And I might float in and out, but I'm not there every day, all day. My team is. And my team gets great reviews. And when I can pass that along to the next client, and they can go actually read, Trish was great, team was great, that means a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure a homeowner is nervous about where that spray is going and if you're protecting the rest of either the exterior or the interior. So where is a homeowner in terms of their mindset when they say, Greg, I need you or Trish to come to my house?
Yeah, what does that process look like from beginning to end when the project is finished?
Well, the main thing I look for is what is the homeowner trying to accomplish? When I'm doing a consultation, and I like to call it a consultation, not a sale. When I'm doing a consultation, I want to know what the customer wants that outcome to be, whether it be cabinets on the inside or paint on the exterior. And so then it's my job to make them understand that I can make that happen and here's how. So, meet them where their pain is where my head's at. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when it comes to kitchen cabinets and things like that, they've been living in the home for a while and the colors just in the kitchen are just not working for them.
And it's so cost effective to spray rather than replace, right?
Absolutely. And that's exactly where I was going. If the wood's good and you like the layout of your kitchen, why would you gut it? Or your bathrooms or built-ins or anything, any cabinetry inside. But I'll focus on the kitchen. If the wood's good and the layout of your kitchen is great and you just don't like the way it looks and feels when you walk in there, we are your perfect opportunity to make that change. And it can happen in a couple of days as opposed to 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on ordering, demo, put stuff back in.
Without a kitchen.
Yeah, without a kitchen. I mean, most jobs for us on a kitchen-only job, will take us between 1.5 to 3 days, depending on the size. Some might take a little longer, and then some projects take a little longer because we might be doing kitchen and a couple of bathrooms and things like that. Mm-hmm. But when you just look at a standard kitchen, I can be in and out of your kitchen in a couple of days and it looks completely different than it did. You know, it's brighter or, you know, whatever color scheme. We can do tops and bottoms. We can do accent, you know, just an accent color for the island and all the cabinets. You know, what do you want your kitchen to look like? And then we'll see what we can do. Exterior-wise, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, they're just either it's looking old and older and run down. They've been there a little while and they want to brighten it up. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest problem with residences in San Antonio is HOAs. You know, and nothing against HOAs, but you can't just paint your exterior of your home any color you want. You got to get approvals and things like that. You can't go off the reservation. You know, we've had clients, I want it this color and this color, and the HOA have told them no.
Oh, wow.
So then
the other beauty is no permits, right? You don't need to pull a permit.
There's no permitting
painting.
Here.
So that's beautiful.
And that's a big deal here because I actually, other franchises across the U.S., they have that. And they're like, what do you do for permits? I said, I don't. You know, in Texas, I don't need a permit to paint your own.
Right. So is it the same with the exterior, Greg? Is it that somebody just wants to change their brick or the siding just to give it a fresh
look? Yeah, it's more of a freshening look. Very, you know, I will, obviously, I would love to work with, you know, I always want to try and connect and partner with realtors or homeowners who want to sell their home or things like that. But in all honesty, you know, if you're just looking to change the color to sell it, I'm never going to be the cheapest game in town because we are a customized long-term solution.
Mm-hmm.
But for that homeowner who's staying where they are, interest rates and things like that, we were talking about that earlier. People are deciding I'm not moving, but I need to do something to brighten up my home. If you've been there for 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years, 12 years, and you really want it to look fresh and new, again, I'm your guy because we can do that. We can do it quickly. We can do it with something that's going to last, something you're not going to have to repaint in 4 or 5 years. And it'll look brand new. It's going to have that factory finish because we don't brush and roll it on. We spray it on. And you're going to have that coat, that paint, that coating that was specifically designed for whatever surface we're working.
Do you guys do the caulking on the outside as well when you're doing the painting?
We can. If it needs to be replaced, we will. We actually, on the exterior, we color match caulks. We provide caulk that is color matched to the paint.
Right. And any issue with the heat in San Antonio? I mean, when you think of paint and you think of San Antonio weather, you think that's not going to last long?
No. Not at all. We actually develop each of these coatings to be UV resistant, so it's not absorbing a lot of that UV heat. And you know, it's going to have to be, you know, something ridiculously hot in order to make any paint fail. But our paint just is generally pretty climate resistant across the board. There's UV protectants in it, so it's color fast. It actually reflects a lot of UV rays, so you're not getting that intense heat on anything, to the point that even with darker colors, like we're one of the only people out there that would actually paint vinyl in a dark gray. Most people will say, I won't do it, because most paints will absorb so much heat that it's going to bend and crack that vinyl underneath. We will actually paint vinyl in a dark gray. Because of the quality of our paint, it's actually UV resistant, and underneath that vinyl doesn't heat up like other paint.
So you could do apartment complexes. I know when the capital companies sell their apartment complex, they want to freshen it up. That would be a really good.
We could, and there's a lot of. And if you drive around and look, which I do more and more since I bought the business, most apartment complexes are usually one of two things. They're either a stucco hardy board mix or all hardy board most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the products we have for both of those surfaces are outstanding. And that's so, great. Yeah, we would definitely be able to handle that. And now you see some of the newer apartment complexes have units that have garage doors and things like that. We have a specific paint design for garage doors and exterior doors and windows. Again, freshen those up and it's going to last. It's not something that you're going to have to keep repainting and repainting. And if you think about it, an apartment complex is something I'm really trying to sell a little bit of when I talk to people. People move in and out of the apartment,
right?
The kitchen cabinets. How many times do they go in and repaint the kitchen cabinets because somebody's trashed them, stained them, things like that? If I go in and I could get an apartment complex to say, you know, let me do that once, because our cabinet coating is stain resistant, scratch resistant, has the same 15-year warranty.
Wow.
And when I say stain resistant, I'm talking about coffee, red wine, things like that, where it's just wipeable. You just wipe it off.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you know, do you want me to come in and just start changing over these small kitchens in this apartment a couple a week when people move out, and pretty soon they're all painted, and you don't have to have somebody in maintenance or somebody come in and paying them every other time somebody moves out because somebody's trashing them.
Right.
So that's something else I was thinking about.
So that warranty would still apply for the apartment complex owner for 15 years?
For 15 years. That's amazing. Wow.
So the people that are watching this are typically business owners.
Right.
And it would be really helpful for them to understand your journey. You buy a franchise, and anybody that does that, they're sort of keeping their fingers crossed that the promises made are the promises realized. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your trajectory as a business owner. What have been some of your challenges, either dealing with the franchisor or just, you know, being in a homogenous business sector where there's a lot of either perceived or actual competition. Tell us about your journey.
Still in it. It's kind of the daily thing. For me, the biggest things that have been real apparent to me is, you know, marketing and how you're going to get eyeballs. And working with the franchisor and, you know, early on, something wasn't working. I'll be honest. Early on, something wasn't working great in the way that we were getting off the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I was, you know, kind of banging away saying, what is going on? Google's not really working. I'm not getting a lot of leads here. And so they started looking at it a little deeper and realized there were some errors on their side and that, you know, the particular company they were using to manage that ad flow and things with Google, all of a sudden they realized that other franchises were having the same problem. That was one of those where they raised their hand and says, we're getting rid of them next week. We're bringing in this company we used to work with.
Greg, I got to stop you there because the issue of being able to know where you're at relative to where you should be at and then immediately doing something about it is a lesson to all of us.
Oh, it happens all the time. Sometimes you got to fall on your face to understand that I could have done that better, or I should have done that better, or I should have listened, or I should have paid more time to this. So it's a really good point is knowing something's not working and identifying that as fast as possible.
Yeah, and then correcting it. As cheap as possible too, right?
Well, and that's
the other thing. Fail fast and fail cheap.
Well, and that's the other thing that you don't realize when you're coming into this new unless you've done it before. Marketing's not cheap.
Nope.
There's no marketing avenue that's cheap. It's where am I going to spend my dollars and am I getting the ROI on that investment? Am I getting the returns off of that? Yes, I made some mistakes. Got out of them as fast as I could. Others have worked very well. Others need tweaking. But it's looking at that as you know, you don't want to babysit it so much that it becomes an obsession. But knowing and looking and understanding where are my leads coming from, do I cultivate that? Can I branch off something of that to continue to get that lead generation? And again, being in my full second year of production. So that's the other thing about franchise ownership that I'll tell people.
Yeah.
Is don't walk in here thinking that it's going to be like a money printing machine. It's just because it's a franchise that's not what it means. You need to go in understanding that you've got to establish a point where people want to see you. They want to talk to you. And that was the hardest part for me. Because in San Antonio, there are a lot of options for painting companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are. There are several. Some are very reputable. Some are, you know, individuals who have established their own business. There's a lot of options to paint your home or even refinish cabinets. Now, what I've noticed is over time, and again, by watching, you know, my first 8 months, you do kitchen cabinet refinishing in San Antonio, and I was somewhere buried on page 2 or 3. You scroll through. Now, if you go kitchen cabinet refinishing in San Antonio, I'm first page number 2.
Beautiful.
Why? Well, because we've done a good job. We have a good reputation. We've gotten good reviews. And people now understand that with SprayNet, I have a reputation in town now. But it takes a while to build that. And you have to build that the right way. Not by flashy marketing, but by doing a good job and then using that in your marketing to get people interested in what you're providing.
So the lesson that I'm gleaning from this and that I share with my clients is marketing, first of all, you're never done. It's a journey, and what was working won't always work, and you have to tweak. And secondly, you're obviously doing a very good job getting your customers to interact with the company. You're getting Google reviews, and that's part of what gives you the authority so that Google is ranking you higher. But it is a perpetual journey, and very often entrepreneurs think, ah, it's the market. Ah, it's the weather. Ah, it's the competition, rather than owning it, taking responsibility. And what I'm hearing and what everybody should get from this is you were very active in your success.
Exactly. If you're going to do something like this, you better be active in it because it's yours. It's your business. It's not SprayNet's business. I owe SprayNet royalties and I buy into brand funds and all of that because I chose to buy into their processes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But SprayNet doesn't come down here and do the work. And SprayNet's not responsible for my success. They're helpful. But if I'm going to be successful in this, I have to own it. Right. And I have to understand if something's not going the way I want it to go, then I need to start asking questions and I need to start figuring that part out. So year one, there was a lot of that. Asking questions, why isn't this working? I'm not doing as well as I thought I would do. Year two has started off very well. First quarter sales for me, first quarter bookings for me have an opportunity to be almost 3-1 versus first quarter.
Oh, that's amazing.
Last year. But first quarter last year, we had just started producing. Nobody knew about us. I'd done one home show in October. I'd been on your show one time at that point. So I didn't have any meat on the bone on people could look and, you know, I had to sell people on, well, we've only done 2 or 3 jobs and be honest about it and get them to take a chance on me. Mm-hmm. Now it shows we've done the work, we've done the legwork, the marketing's out there. People understand who we are. Now it's seizing that and building on it.
What are you doing in the community as far as like?
Not enough.
Yeah. You want to do more.
Me, yeah, I do want to do more. You know, again, as a new business owner, I see opportunities all the time where I could get involved and get even my team involved. So it's something I want to do. I'll do certain gifts for fundraisers and things like that on occasion to support certain things. But I would like to get more involved in that, in sponsoring certain events or certain
get on the board of some nonprofit somewhere and do something.
And things like that. But again, it's one of those. I consider it, you know, one of my favorite team terms with the team is, you know, crawl, walk, run. Now, we've stood up and we're walking, but we're not running yet.
Sure.
Same goes with me as a business owner. I would love to get involved in a ton of things, but I don't know if I'm there yet because, you know, I start taking my eye off the ball a little bit and get involved in too much. Mm-hmm. Then I'm not focusing on getting this business to the point where I can make that the majority of the time that I spend.
Yeah, philanthropy comes later, right?
Well, yeah. Now, doesn't mean I don't want to be approached. You know, the fundraiser that I was at last Friday, I met the president of that nonprofit organization, and I told her next year I want to be a sponsor of a package for the fundraiser.
Nice.
So I would like to get involved in things like that where I can. And, you know, honestly, you know, trying to get the find some time to get the team to maybe do a volunteer Friday if we could find the right Friday or something, maybe the food bank, things like that, and use that as some team building opportunities as well. And then sponsorships for, you know, I was a little league guy growing up. I, you know, played little league baseball and I coached, you know, youth football with my boys when they were younger and things like that. You know, be a sponsor for leagues and things like that. Those are always things that would be.
Do you know Roger over at End Zone Sports?
No.
Have you met him?
Yes.
He deals with kids all the time, and I think he's got a nonprofit thing going right now.
I would like to. I would like to do things like that.
He was at our last mixer.
Yeah, because I am a child of that, and then I turned around and I coached, you know, for a long time, whether it be baseball or football, when my kids were younger, and got involved in that, whether it was the YMCA or anything like that. So that would be a way I would want to, you know, try and give back a little.
There's a new guy, he just started with our chapter, BNI chapter. Mm-hmm. He's with the YMCA.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's another good hookup, too.
Yeah,
is it a local YMCA?
Starts.
Or
yeah,
is
it's, they're over there by, Blanco and...
Is it Mays?
There's a park that, it's not, there's some park down there that's a nice park. But anyway, okay. But I can get you the hookup on that.
I'm curious. You talked about you not being there, so it begs the question about scaling, Greg. You know, it's very interesting. You talk to entrepreneurs, and they just say, I want more business. And then they get more business. They say, I don't know how to scale. So have you given some thought? Empower us with, you know, your thinking around how you scale from where you are today to being double or triple the size.
Funny you should ask that, because that's been a primary point with me in the conversations with my franchisor over the last month, because I am growing. What you don't want to do, the way I see it, and not a magic bullet, this is just my view, I don't want to scale so fast that we can't continue to do quality work because I don't have the right people doing it. But I don't want to scale so slow that I, you know, miss opportunities.
You age out.
Yes. So the idea is this. Like right now, I'm going to actually bring on a fourth person to my team that I have, because we have the work behind us now from a backlog perspective that can support not only four people getting the work done, so I can maybe get a few more jobs done during the course of a month than I normally would have, but at the same time, I can support the extra salary that I'm going to be bringing on. That's the part that people don't always realize. Just because you bring on a fourth person, you better make sure that the cash flow is there, because you just added X number of dollars to every payroll you're going to run.
Right. It's a chicken or egg, isn't it?
Yes.
So then, how do you get the business before you scale, or do you scale so you can get the business?
I look at it as more making sure I have the business before I scale. Okay. Because in my line of work, the way I see it, I could have the greatest team in the world, but if I'm not selling behind them at a rate that keeps them moving forward, keeps them employed, keeps jobs are out there, what good does it do to have a four-person team if I'm struggling to find work week to week?
Right, other than they get very good at Sudoku.
Right, or cleaning out a trailer. So it's to me, I'm going to sell, and as my sales become more productive, as I continue to get eyeballs, as I continue to build that backlog. Now, because it's a time thing for me too. If I go in right now and I tell a client that I'm booking for May, initially they're like, wow. But then they realize that's 4 to 6 weeks, not so bad. If I were to go into a client today and say I'm booking in July, I've got a 50-50 shot. They're not going to want to wait for me. So now I'm telling myself maybe I need to scale again, because I want to keep a window of, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks of work. And if I'm selling very successfully and I'm starting to branch out into 8, 10, 12 weeks, that's no good for me.
All right, so let's do the reverse.
Right.
Would you convert at a higher level if you told somebody you can start in 2 weeks?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Very rarely do I get somebody, when I'm in front of a client, where they're going to sit there and look at me and says, this needs to be done next week. That is the exception. It helps me to be able to build a little bit of sense of urgency the way I see it. If I go in and I can tell them, like, if I have an appointment today and I say, this is a great job for us, we'd love to do this for you. I am booking in May and I'm seeing clients pretty regularly every week. So these openings here, you know, might not be here in a couple weeks. Is this something you want to get done by now?
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a larger dollar purchase, my average job size, when you take exteriors and kitchens combined, my average job size is about, let's say, $5,500. Mm-hmm. That's usually not a decision they're going to make, you know, on the spot. Some do. It's what they want. But most of them want to think about it. But me being able to establish that sense of urgency by saying, hey, here's our openings, and I'll show them. Here's our openings that we have available right now. Is this something you'd want to get done in that time frame? If they say yes, then it's on me to just inform them that, you know, these slots may be picked up the longer we wait to close this. and just have a good conversation. But very rarely do I get somebody who's just like, oh, I've got to have this done in the next 10 days.
What do you do about slow season? Or what is your slow season and what do you do about it?
That's a good question. The slowest part for us is, let's say, late December to mid-end January because of holidays. You know, nobody wants me in their house doing a kitchen the week of Christmas, week of New Year's, and they're coming back from the break and things like that.
I got to think before the holidays, everybody's come quick.
Well,
right. I'm having everybody
that's
in the
what
house.
We found last year. That's what we found last year.
Yeah.
Is I was doing work up until the week before Christmas.
Yeah.
And so what, for me, sells where you don't have one. I mean, that sounds really simple and rudimentary, but if I can sit here and pack in jobs up until the week before Christmas and then, you know, then be able to give the team a week or two off, depending on how things are going, and know that there's work right behind them when they come back, you manage through it. And that comes from me, you know, asking the right questions, being consultative when I'm in front of clients. Mm-hmm. Is this something you want done before the holidays? Yes. Well, let's go ahead and get this book now. But, you know, I find that our slowest, my two slowest periods from a sales perspective are January 4th to August 1st. And because that's kind of the key time that people want to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Because that 4th of July holidays, their kickoff, and then school doesn't start till a couple weeks after August. So July was just like, you know, I was begging for leads last July.
Gotcha.
And it's the same thing into December. But I was still, you know, I was still out doing consultations all through December. So we actually were working the day after New Year's because I had workbook.
I see.
So I kind of avoided it.
Yeah. What do you think that is the thing that makes SprayNet stand out? When you're sitting down with a client and they do have options, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty of painting companies out there. What is it about you guys that makes them go, I want to choose you?
Well, I need to make sure that they understand the value that we're bringing for the price that they're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quality of the product. As far as I'm concerned, there's not a better paint product you can use. The quality of the application in our process, meaning you're going to get extreme value because it's going to look great, it's going to look brand new, we're going to be able to do it quickly, and you get a 15-year warranty.
So is the warranty the thing? I mean, is 15 warranty pretty rare in your industry?
Well, most painting companies are going to give you 1 to 3.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because that's what's on the can of paint.
That's on the exterior too? The exterior paint is 15-year warranty?
Yes. Absolutely.
So what triggers a warranty claim on an exterior paint job?
Peeling or cracking not due to damage. So it's a 15-year no-peel warranty.
What about fading?
It would have to depend on the length of time that's been in place.
You know, some paint will turn like kind of powdery, mm-hmm. and it just kind of, you know what I mean? Like you can rub it and it literally is on your hand.
Right. That's so, not us.
That's not you.
No.
That's Why not is us. That not? What are you?
That's the chemistry that's in the paint. If you look at our tagline, if you look at all of our marketing, it says custom chemistry, smarter painting. Because our chemists and the developers that you know, our leadership has brought on board, they work for SprayNet. They are constantly looking for the next best version of the product that we're using. We're on our fourth or fifth iteration of the kitchen cabinet coating. We're on our third iteration of the brick stain. We're on our third iteration of the stucco coating. So they're constantly looking for ways to continually keep those things from happening that you would normally see with a latex or oil-based paint that you get from another manufacturer. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer out there, and I tell this to my clients. I'm not disparaging anybody's work. There's a lot of great painters out there that when they're done, it looks fantastic. And this is what I'll tell my clients. But what's it going to look like in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years?
10 years.
10 years.
Well, and I would even ask them. It's like, well, so when you're shopping, somebody do your painting for you, ask them what the warranty is on the exterior paint. Because they're all going to say 1 to 3 years. I've never heard anything more than 3 years yet,
right.
except for what you guys are telling me. Other than there's one other company out there, they've been on a show too, that theirs is like, I don't know, it's a long warranty as well. But
right, and
theirs is
more of a ceramic type
yes.
coating.
Yeah.
And it has a different look and feel.
Big time.
Ours is paint. It's not some wild, you know, something out there, it's pain.
But the other stuff does look a little wild.
Specific develop. You know, it's not latex. It's a water-based polyurethane, and we put a lot of work into it. It's low VOC, so it doesn't smell. That's another thing I'm able to tell clients too, and people have been amazed. We finish in the kitchen. We take down all the masking and the sheeting that we've done to protect the kitchen, and so a bunch of mess doesn't come out. And as soon as we do that, the smell's gone. It's a low VOC. It doesn't stink. You can use it right away. You don't have to wait. And you know, it's a neat
process. That product for the cabinets, the eco-friendly products?
Yes.
As well as the exterior as well. They're all eco-friendly. Mm-hmm.
They're all an eco-friendly water-based polyurethane, not latex or oil-based paint. So it's eco-friendly. It's meant to be something that you can be proud of, but it's also easy for us to handle and process, and we don't have to do a lot of special things or when we're applying or something.
I got to tell you, when you started saying, you know, the average project is going to cost, I'm thinking $10,000, $15,000. And when you said $5,500.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
What's that?
So it's kitchens and. So let you want to break it
what
down.
What I'm saying, Greg, is I think that's unbelievably inexpensive, given that you can walk into your home with pride of ownership, feel like you have a new home. I just think that's inexpensive.
Well, I need you to come with me on sales calls, because not everybody.
Well, that's what I do.
No, because when you look at a kitchen, when you look at an average size kitchen for us, let's say an average kitchen is 25 to 30 pieces, meaning doors and drawers. We'll be able to do that in the $4,000 to $5,000 range is normal for us. The exterior is all going to depend on what you want me to do and the square footage of your house. I mean, I know that sounds pretty basic, but if you just want me to do the facing, just the substrate, you know, the brick or the stucco, and you don't want to change trim or anything like that, just depending on the size of the house, that could be, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. It could be as low as $3,500 on a small 2,000 square foot ranch story, one story home. Mm-hmm. I've done a brick job on that where it was $3,800 because we just did the brick. Mm-hmm. Now, if you start to mix in trim and it's two stories and we're doing all the windows and all the exterior doors and the garage doors and, you know, gutters and all of that, I mean, that gets into your 10 to 12-ish range, depending on the
size of
the house.
Still inexpensive to have a brand new look for your house, I think.
Oh, well, absolutely. And that's something, again, Mark, you know, to circle back to your question. I need to make sure that clients understand the value they're getting for what we are providing. And I think once they understand that, it makes that price decision a little bit easier.
So they're comparing apples to apples. If they're going to go out there and shot the job, which most people are going
to
do that.
I'll be the first one to tell you, I've lost jobs to price, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and discount down to somebody's level just because I want the work. You know, I'm a businessman. I want to make money. When my people go do a job, you know, I want to make money on that job. It's just making sure that, you know, what you're getting for a guy who says he can paint your kitchen for $1,500 and I come in and tell you it's going to be $3,800, making sure they understand why. And let them make
If you have a calculus that you're going to be in the house a while, the old adage is buy nice or buy twice. So if you're going to be there 10 years and you have a 3-year warranty, how many times are you going to have to go back? And all of a sudden you look like a bargain.
Yeah. And that's it resonates more and more. I'm noticing is that conversation has become very comfortable for me to have.
Yeah.
And if that's just, if you're shopping strictly on price, I tell people, I said, I'm probably not the right choice for you. I said, but if you want to spend a little more for something that's going to look brand new for longer, I said, then I really do think that we're the right people to do this.
Yeah. But if they're buying on price and they're going to be there 10 years, you're still cheaper.
Well, not always an easy conversation to have. I'll tell you this. I had one. My most frustrating was probably my most frustrating sales opportunity that I missed probably happened about 2 months ago. I go to this very nice, it was a $1 million home. Beautiful home. Great wood cabinets, everything. I go in there. They hadn't moved in yet. They were getting ready to move in a few weeks. Went through the whole, gave him a price. He said, wow, this looks like a great opportunity and everything. I called him back a couple days later, following up. He goes, Greg, I'm going to tell you what, you were the best presentation. I still think you're the best product out there. He goes, on price, he goes, you're way off the mark. So we're going with somebody else. Thanks. And hung up. And I was like, you're buying a $1 million, $1.5 million home, and you're going to let somebody come in here who basically undercut me probably, I'm guessing, probably by $2,000-$3,000. And you're going to roll those dice. And I did. I hung up the phone, and I was actually frustrated.
Of course you would be.
And I was like, ugh. For him to tell me, I think you're the best product there, and by far you had the best presentation, but I'm still going with this guy because you're not even close on price.
Yeah.
So it's just managing through that and just letting people know what you're getting for
sometimes as a business owner, we're picking our clients too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes if they're crazy, then it's just best to let them walk. You know, it's like, I don't need to work with crazy because, you know what I mean? Their expectations are just not reasonable, that it just gets a little bit like, oh my gosh. I've had a couple of those, and I'll say no to a client real easy.
Absolutely correct. I've had a couple of those.
It's nice when you can find that out before they sign the contract.
Have them take the DISC test or something. You know what I mean? Personality test.
You're a business owner. You're gonna be able to see it real quick just in that consultation meeting.
Yeah.
We've had a couple where the team has looked at me at the end of a job and says, "Please don't book anybody like that again."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know they weren't a picnic for me either.
Well, Greg, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
There's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can go out to our website, www.spraynet.com. Then you could extend that to San Antonio North. You can go to our local website or the master website for the franchise. You can book there online. We have a 1-800 number that's out there on the website. You can call, get a hold of people in our call center. They can find out exactly what project you're looking for, and then they will schedule a consultation with me. Or you can do it locally. Don't mind putting my office line out there. If somebody's interested, it's 210-585-2237, and you can call me direct. Always easier to get a hold of me if you do it through the other ways, because sometimes I just don't get a chance to answer my phone right away. But, yeah, do www.spraynet.com or the 1-800 that's available out there, and then get you scheduled. We'd love to come see you.
All right, love it. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it. All right, as we wrap up the show, quick reminder to check out our latest podcast and catch video version of the show anytime by visiting our website at satalkradio.com. That's going to be it for this one. You guys have a great week. We'll see you on the next one.
Appreciate it.
Good job. Thanks.